time with meeting a young lady, proposing to her, being married, having children, or seeking out a career. The problem lies, ladies and gentlemen, is that we leave God out of our plans. See, planning without God is a miserable mistake. Christians must allow, ladies and gentlemen, and consider God in planning life's events. In James chapter 4, that's what James is speaking of. Here's a gentleman that is planning a life, ladies and gentlemen. He's planning to go to work. Notice, please, the context says, today or tomorrow we will go to such a city, spend a year there, buy, sell, and make a profit. Here's a gentleman that's going to move, maybe take his family to a place, to work, to make a living, to be prosperous. But notice, please, and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time, and then, he says, vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. That will come important later in our lesson. He said, but now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Therefore, to him to know who do good and does not do it, to him, James says what? That is a sin. And so tonight, let us talk about, please, for just a few moments, planning without God. Do we ever do that? There may be some that might take a vacation, and first thing they need to do is consider, where am I going to worship at? Is there a conservative work that I can be there with the brethren, the saints, to worship God in spirit and truth? There's a lot of factors that go in when we make plans in this life, please. As we look at the first jar, we find that what is wrong with being self-sufficient. We want to teach our children this, to be independent. Self-sufficiency, though, produces the spirit of pride, and it does. A man boasts that he is ultimately in control of his life and his future. We need to realize that our life is in the hands of God, not in ourselves. We also find a man plans his life as if his own will and desires control his destiny, and that's not true. And James points that out here to these Christians. We find that the world says, look within yourself for the answer. Oftentimes during graduation, you'll hear someone that will give a long speech, and the whole speech is about themselves. Go to the book of Proverbs, please, in Proverbs 16:18, where even the proverb writer teaches us the value when it comes to pride. In Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 18, the Bible says, pride goes before destruction, that's right, and a haughty spirit before a what? Before a fall, that's right. And even Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and 1 Corinthians 10:12, take heed to yourself, what? Lest you fall from your own what? From your own steadfastness. So while the world says to look within yourself, the Bible teaches differently. Pride was a problem with the church at Laodicea. What was wrong with them? They were saints. In the book of Revelation chapter 3, we read, if you read the history of Laodicea, they had a earthquake that basically almost destroyed the whole area, and they, by their own resources, built up the city again. If you read the history of that. But in Revelation chapter 3, please, beginning at verse 14, we find at the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Jesus says, I know your works, and that you're neither cold nor hot. I could wish that you were cold or hot. So then, because you're lukewarm, I will vomit you out of my mouth. To the Lord, they were what? They were disgusting. Very distasteful. But why, please? Notice in verse 17, because you say, this was their attitude. Pride. I am rich. I have become wealthy. I have need of nothing. And do not know. And Jesus said, and you do not know that you are what? Wretched, poor, miserable, blind, and naked. He uses these physical attributes to bring out their spirituality. They were spiritually blind. They were spiritually miserable. They were spiritually destitute. And in verse 17, Jesus tells them, you're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Verse 18, he says, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich in white garments, that you may be clothed with the shame of your nakedness, that you may be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may what? Me see. Jesus wanted them to see their spiritual depravity, and that's exactly right. Why? Because of pride. The world says, trust in yourself. The Bible says to trust in God. We talked about that in our Bible class this morning. The world says, believe in yourself. The Bible says, believe in God. The world says, you're wonderful. The Bible says that you're a sinner, and unless you repent, you will perish. The world says, you can do it. The Bible says, let God do it. Put your faith in Him. We walk by faith and not by sight. The world says you just need to change your attitude. The Bible says that you need to change your heart. And that's right. See, the world's concept and our concept and what the Word of God teaches is totally different. The world encourages you to discover the God within, self, the true and the living God who created us as I am the God. Notice, please. And there is none else. There is no God beside me in Exodus chapter 22 through 3. And that's right. And so when you look at the world and the picture that it paints a picture of pride of self. But the Word of God teaches us quite differently. Planning without God, please. And so the question he'd be asked, should we plan for the future? Is it wrong to do this? Because back in our text, let's go to James 13. Is that what James is teaching? Come you now, say today or tomorrow, we go to such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell. And he says to make a what? To make a profit. Is that what James is teaching us here? What are our dreams? What are our plans and goals, please, of the future? Completing your education, that's fantastic. That's wonderful. An education is wonderful. Make that plan. Getting a career, planning for one day, to be able to have a family, to get married, and to start a family is a wonderful plan, for, ladies and gentlemen, for every Christian to want to do. Buying a new house, that's also important. As you look to the future. And then retirement someday. And that's wonderful. But here's the difference. Too many place emphasis on what? They place emphasis on the wrong places when they consider the future. And I'll give you an example, please. There was a gentleman that worshiped with us in Lake Charles. This was probably a year ago. He got a job in the Atlanta area. He didn't even look for a local church to be able to worship there. He got a job. He saw the money that was involved in it. He saw the promotion that he was going to invest in. And when he got there, and he took the job, he realized there was not a conservative work for him to worship. See, that's making plans without God. The next local work that he could have assembled with the saints that was conservative was a good hour away. So now he has to drive an hour. And a lot of brethren do that. And so when you think about your plans, you think about your dreams in life, in your goals, what about your spiritual life? See, that's what we need to picture first in our lives. That's what we need to think. What about my spiritual life? Is this career that I am going to seek, is it going to affect my spiritual life? Is it going to keep me from assembling with the saints on the Lord's Day? That's what you need to consider. What about salvation? Is it going to cause you to compromise your salvation? Thirdly, please, what about your spiritual growth? We talked about that this morning. We're to grow spiritually. And what about serving the Lord? See, these are the things, ladies and gentlemen, that we need to consider as we make plans. And the final ones, what about heaven or hell? Where am I going to spend eternity? See, the gentleman in James chapter 4 did not consider all these as he was making these plans. Do we consider, what about my spiritual life? What about salvation? What about growing spiritually? What about serving the Lord? Where am I going to spend eternity? See, too many are earthbound and they're thinking and leave God out of their plan. See, Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 says, seek first the kingdom of God. Before I want to go to college, and I realize that may be a school, has a lot of academics, maybe a grade A school that you might be able to attend, but is there a congregation that you can worship at and be faithful to grow spiritually, to consider your salvation, to be able to serve the Lord, to be able to go to heaven? Or maybe you get a job and you have a family. Is that job going to allow you to what? To serve the Lord? Is that job going to allow you to put God first in your life? Those are the kind of essentials that we need to consider when we're looking at planning for the future. Even retirement, some people want to move. And that's fantastic. Men and women that worked their lives, worked many years, and they want to retire.
and they want to retire to a certain part of the United States, is there a congregation? What if there's not one there? See, all those things are important. Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be what? Will be added unto you. If you look at this gentleman here, please, he planned his departure. Today or tomorrow, he was planning to go to a certain city. He even plans how long he's going to spend there, spend a year there. He plans to work and even the details of it, to buy and to sell, and even expects to make a profit at the end of the year and make a profit. That's right. But here's where he fell. What if he was not able to leave? What if something were to happen? What if his health would have stopped him from going? What if one of his family members had a problem? What if he ran into some financial issues? See, this is where boasting comes in, that James describes, that is harmful to our spiritual lives, please. Because we need to understand, there's nothing wrong with working. The problem in James chapter 4 is not the work. Because even in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 19, we're to work the sweat of our brow. And Paul even said in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 10, a man don't work, man don't eat. And we know in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 8, where even Paul describes those, he says, please, if anyone does not provide for his own, especially for those of his own household, he has denied the faith and worse than an unbeliever. It's not about having a work ethic, please. It's not about that. We need to realize that this man planned his life on the basis of his own reasoning, without taking God into consideration at all. Go to Luke, please. In the Gospel of Luke, in the 12th chapter, we find the gentleman that Jesus describes in the parable as a fool. Why is he a fool? Because he had money? Let's read the text, please. In Luke chapter 12, this is the reason why this gentleman is a fool. Notice in verse 13, then one of the crowd said to him, teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. And notice, please, then he said, the man who am I, man who made me a judge or an arbiter over you. And he said to him, take heed to yourself, beware of covetousness. For one's life does not consist of the abundance of things which he possesses. Life is not about money. That's not what life is about. Life is not about having physical things. It's not about our clothes that we wear. It's not about our cars that we drive. It's not about the house or the home that we live in. It's not what life's about. It's not even about our career. Notice, please, Jesus gave a parable. Then he spoke a parable to them and said, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. God blessed this man. He worked hard. There's nowhere in the parable that we find that there was any deceit. This man was a hard worker. But notice, please, here's the problem, verse 17. And he thought within himself. There's the problem, his own reasoning. He said, I will do this. Notice, underline this in your Bible if you don't have a problem with that. He says, I will pull down my barns and I will build greater. And there I will store up my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, so you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Live a joyful life. This man worked hard. But notice what God says. In verse 20, God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So he says, then verse 21, so it is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. He had all the money in the world. He was not rich toward God. You go back in the Old Testament, and there are those that were rich, but they were rich toward God. And if you read the parable, you find that in this man's own reasoning, in his own thinking, there's one person that he left out in all of his blessings, and that is who? God. Everything is about him. My barns, my goods, please. Everything is mine, 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 mine. As this man was rich, did he not consider the fellow next door to him that was maybe poor? If he had so many crops, could he not share? And secondly, please, as he considered his blessings, did he not consider the source of his blessings, Jehovah God? Thirdly, This gentleman did not even consider that one day he would have to give up his life. And where would he spend eternity? So there's why he is called a fool. He didn't consider his fellow man. He didn't consider God as a source of his blessings. He was not rich toward God, and he what? He did not consider his own life. Here's the man that made all these plans. And Jesus describes him as what? He describes him as a fool. Planning for the future without planning for one's eternal future is a depth of foolishness. And it is. It is. In Matthew chapter 6, please. Jesus says in verse 19 and 20. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys nor thieves break in and steal. He said, where your treasure is, where your heart is. Where's your heart, ladies and gentlemen? Where's our heart at? Is our heart where? Our treasure is heaven. That's where our heart should be. That's where our heart should be. And also we read in Mark chapter 4, please. In Mark chapter 4, I believe Jesus spoke the parable of the sower. In Mark chapter 4, 18 and 19. These are the ones who sow among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word and the cares of this world and notice the deceitfulness rich and the desires of other things. Underscore that in your Bible. Entering, choke the word, and notice it becomes unfruitful. His life becomes unfruitful. Choke, please. You think of a person that's standing in the crowd where they can't breathe. They suffocate. And so here's the problem. Here's a man may have obeyed the gospel. He hears the word. But notice the cares of the world and the deceitfulness rich and the desires of other things. Choke the word. Why? Because his life was planned without God. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 2, Paul said, please, go to Colossians 3, 2. Paul says, set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. He says, that's right. Seek those things which are above. The idea is not that we are to walk looking up. The idea is that our mind, our hearts need to be focused on what lies ahead. And what is that? Heaven. Seek those things which are above. Paul says in verse 2, not on things on the earth. You died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, will you also appear with him, what? Also in glory. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 7, please. We also find that the Apostle Paul says there, please, for we brought nothing into this world and it's certain that we can carry nothing out. I've been to many funerals and I have yet to see a U-Haul on the back of a hearse. You're not going to carry anything with you. We came into this world naked and we're going to leave naked. And Paul makes it very clear, even in verse 6, but godliness with contentment is great gain. He said, having good food and clothing with these, you shall be what? Shall be content. So planning the future without God is a foolish mistake. Failure to recognize the uncertainty of life, please. Because back in our text, we find in verse 14, we find that whereas you did not know what will happen tomorrow, for your life is a vapor, even a vapor that appears for a little time, and then he says vanishes away, and that's right. Our minds are limited, please. And we need to recognize that God is all-knowing. He knows everything. No matter what we plan to think we do, we know what will happen tomorrow, or we don't know what's going to happen in the next 5 minutes. But God does. God does. And that's James' point there, please. Only when we consider the will of God can we have confidence in what lies ahead. When our life is centered around the will of God, when we are seeking Him first, please, then we can have confidence in the future. This gentleman could have had confidence if he would have centered all of these decisions that he was going to make around the will of God. Then traveling, if you look back at the text, please, today or tomorrow, then he could have said that with confidence. We will go to such a city. He could have said that with confidence. And spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit. See, we can say that with confidence when we make these decisions that is centered around the will of God. But here's a man that said this out of arrogance. Only when we consider the will of God, please. Also, we need to understand the brevity of life. That's B. What is your life? It is even a vapor. You know, I used to work construction. I was a structural iron worker for 12 years. And working construction in the chemical field, used to watch those steams that would rise out of those pipes. And as fast as they would rise, be fast as they would dissipate. That's our life. You know, I look back, I'm 45 years old. And I think, what happened to my life? All these years. It just flew by. And that's life. We need to consider that. The brevity of life, ladies and gentlemen. Life is totally uncertain, even today, or less even tomorrow. That's right. As a matter of fact, go to Matthew chapter 6, please. In Matthew 6, Jesus makes that very point in verse 34. And he says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. That's right. He said, sufficient for the day is its own trouble. That's right. Because we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. That's a good point. Our life is like a morning mist that the sun soon burns away. That's our life. The end of life will come to every one of us in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. Death is appointed to everyone. We don't know when it's going to happen. While tragedy took place 400 miles from here, south of here. Not that we look forward to such a tragedy, but that's life. In Luke 13, please. In Luke 13, you see a lot of young people that lose their lives. It may not be that tragedy, but some other tragedy. That's life. 9/11 is another great example. Who would have thought that a young lady or a young man going to work that morning would have been their last day to live? A man reaching for a cup of coffee, and then all of a sudden his life is taken away from him just like that. And in Luke chapter 13, please, even our Lord. And verse 1, they're present at that season. Some who told him about the Galileans who blood, Pilate, and mingled on the, with their sacrifice. And Jesus answered and said, do you not suppose that these Galileans were worse sinners than all of the Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will likewise perish. So those 18 of whom the tower of Siloam fell and killed, do you think that they were worse sinners than all other men who dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will likewise perish. Plan your life around God, please. Since life is so short, it's important that we don't that we do God's will and not our own. Go to 1 John, please. 1 John 2:17. 1 John 2, in verse 17. I love this context because it teaches us a valuable lesson about focusing on the three avenues of sin, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Because in verse 17 is the most important part of this. In verse 17, he says, the world is passing away. Well, what's, and the lust of it, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and pride of life. But who's going to endure? In verse 17, but he who does the will of God abides what? Abides forever. That's right. And we don't want to center our life around the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. That is not the love of God. The love of God abides in those that do His will, and they will what? Abide forever. There's the most important aspect of that passage that we need to consider. So as we look at our lives, we need to constantly do God's will. And it's foolish to think that we have the strength within ourselves to make our plans happen without God, and that's right. We cannot make our plans without God. It is very foolish. In James chapter 1, in verse 10 and 11, James says, but the rich in his humiliation, because as a flower of the field, he will pass away. For no sooner has the sun risen with the burning heat than with it withers the grass, its flower falls, and its beautiful appearance perishes. So the rich man will fade away in his what? In his pursuits. That's right, brother. Only God can bring about what His wills, what He wills for the future without fail. Prosperity cannot guarantee eternal security. Failure to acknowledge God, please. Because now we find the man is dependent upon God, is to be dependent upon God for life. And that's what James teaches us. Please, in verse 15a, he says, instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. And that's right. In James chapter 14, most people go about living the way they want
seldom considering God. Go to Psalm 53 and verse 1, please. Psalm 53:1. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt and have done abominable iniquity. There is none who, he says, does good. Most people, as they live their life without considering God. And the Bible says that man is a fool. We live in that society today. Any type of tragedy takes place, many want to question the Bible. Many want to question, where is God? Man has a free will. God is there. Man will answer to God. There has always been a Jehovah there. We are to acknowledge God and confess our dependency upon Him. Psalm 139, please. Go to Psalm 139. One and two, please. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You've known my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path, and he says, and my lying down, and are acquainted with, he says, all of my ways. David, recognizing the power of God, but also recognizing that he is to be completely dependent upon him. In the book of Daniel, chapter 5, please, we notice Daniel, please. And Daniel chapter 5 in verse 23, read it with me. And you have lifted yourself up against the Lord of heaven. They have brought the vessels of his house before you. And you and your lords, your wives and your concubines have drunk wine from them. And you have praised the gods of silver and gold, bronze and iron, wood and stone, which did not see or hear or know. And the God who holds your breath in his hand and owns all your ways, you have not glorified. I want you to read that, brethren. That is a very powerful passage when we consider the fact that we are to completely be dependent upon Jehovah. Daniel says, there, read it with me again, God who holds your breath in his hand and owns all your ways, you have not glorified. We glorify God when we completely depend upon him in the lives that we live each and every day. In the book of Acts chapter 17 and verse 25, as Apostle Paul was preaching the gospel to these Athenians on Mars Hill, he tells them in Acts chapter 17 and verse 25, nor is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath and all things. What's that mean? That means God sustains us in life. God is the one that blesses us physically and spiritually. And in verse 28, he said, for him we live and move and have our being. That's right. We exist because of God. As some of your own prophets have said, for we are what? We are his offspring. In the book of Genesis, please, chapter 2. In the book of Genesis, chapter 2, in verse 7. Read it with me. And the Lord formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed in his nostrils and the breath of life, and the man became a living being. That's right. Man should depend upon God for life. He alone is in charge of his life and how long he will be on the earth. Man is to be dependent upon God for all things that he does. Back in our text. Man is not able to do what he plans unless God wills it. And that's right. We must acknowledge God in what? In all of our ways. In the book of Jeremiah, please. In Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 23. Even Jeremiah the prophet says, O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not a man who walks to direct his own steps. That's right. Think of our salvation. We cannot save ourselves. It is through the grace of God. What directs our steps in life? It's God's Word. Psalm 119, 160, I believe. And 158, read it. But we need to acknowledge God in all of our ways because it is He that directs our steps in life. As we plan our future, to get married, to have a job, to have children, for our careers. Plan all that, ladies and gentlemen, around God's will. He is the one that will direct our steps in life. Does he not see my ways and count all my steps? In the book of Job, please, what does Job say in Job 31, 4? Even Job will recognize this. In Job 31, 4, it says, does he not see my ways and knows and count all my steps? He does, because God is all-knowing and all-seeing. In Proverbs chapter 20, please. In Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 24, it says, a man's steps are of the Lord. How then can a man understand his what? His own way. That's right. In chapter 3, 5 through 6, please. It says, trust in the Lord with all your what? With all your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, notice, acknowledge Him. What's that mean? In all your plans. In all your plans, acknowledge Him. Trust in Him with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Lean not on your own reasoning. The proverb says, lean not on your understanding, in all your ways acknowledge Him. Submitting our plans according to God's will demonstrates a strong faith, and it does. Even Apostle Paul, please, in the book of Acts chapter 18, you remember Paul was journeying, and before he would revisit the church at Ephesus, we read in Acts chapter 18 and verse 21, he says this, please. But he took leave of them, saying, I must by all means keep this coming feast in Jerusalem, but I will turn, God willing. He said, God willing. It'd be planned around God, he says there, please. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 7, we find it, Apostle Paul even says there, please, for I do not wish to see you now on the way, but I hope to stay a while with you if the Lord permits. Oftentimes, we might tell the brethren here, I'll see you tonight. Can we say that for certainty? So what should we say? And I've learned this in my life as a Christian. Before we say that, we ought to say, if the Lord wills, I'll see you tonight. And that's the truth. If it's the Lord's will, we'll see you tonight. We'll see you tomorrow. If it's the Lord's will, I'll be at work tomorrow. If it's the Lord's will, I'll live tomorrow. That's acknowledge Him in all of our ways. Making plans without God is boasting and arrogance. And back in our text, please. And I am almost done. I thank you for your time this evening. Verse 16, please. He said, but now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. And that's right. And this person boasts in things he thinks he has, but reality he doesn't have. And that's right. God has control. Why? Because you live without God. And ladies and gentlemen, when we live without God, it's a miserable mistake. He lives and plans thinking he is in control of his life and future. In reality, he is not, and neither are we. As we live our lives, we pray. We always pray according to God's will. 1 John 5:17, and that's right. The plan without God, taking in consideration God's will, to set ourselves up against God Himself. And there's the arrogance of it. Self-sufficiency is a sin. It is a sin because it involves arrogance and boasting, and it's sin because Christians know better. And remember, James is writing to Christians. And we need to learn a lesson, all of us do. We make plans. We need to consider God's will in making those plans. And that's right. Otherwise, it would be what? Sin. And so finally tonight, three quick points. How do you make your plans? If you plan without God, considering the will of God, then we are foolish, arrogant, and we're sinful. We fit right in the category of the brethren that James is writing to. If we make our plans subject to the approval of God, then we are wise, submissive, and righteous in God's sight. If we plan, please, as much as we can within the framework of God's will, then we increase the livelihood of success in life. And that's right. One of the reasons I'll close with this thought is why our society is crumbling to the ground is because we live in a society that is living without God. And when you have a society that lives without God, this is what you have today in our society. It should never be that way for the life of a Christian. As we have neighbor and friends and co-workers, people see that we make plans in our lives. Let them see that we do so according to God's will as we live. Let them look upon us and say, I want to serve your Lord. And that's a very powerful message. We're told to be a light, a shining light, an influence, a salt of the world that shines. And let us do that. Tonight, if you're not a Christian, someone here in the audience, you're making plans without God. Change those plans this evening. Become a child of God. Do you believe Jesus to be the Son of God? Be willing to confess that before this audience. Be willing to repent and change your life. And to be baptized for the remission of your sins this evening. There could not be a better plan. There could not be a better plan than success than to obey the gospel and become a New Testament Christian. If you have obeyed the gospel, maybe you have been making plans without God. And maybe your life is miserable because of it. May this congregation pray for you and strengthen you. And as you live your life, plan it around God's will. And so tonight, if you're subject to the Lord's invitation, won't you come while we stand and while we sing?